Dyson Logistics have been on board with Shark Cast since day one, and because of that and their excellent service, we are proud to be associated with them. Dyson Logistics provides tailored logistical solutions to meet your individual client needs and is set apart by its personalized service. Dyson is a strong worldwide agent network, enabling highly competitive rates, and I should also point out their head honcho is a lifelong season ticket holder of the mighty Cronulla Sutherland Sharks. Find them online, www.dysonlogistics.com, or call them on 02-8339-1844. Dyson Logistics, service delivered. The Royal Motor Yacht Club Port Hacking is a hidden gem of the Shire, situated on the banks of the beautiful Port Hacking. It's a great place to catch up with friends, celebrate your birthday or any special occasion, and they always show the NRL live on the big screens. They also have live acoustic music on weekends. Yachty's Bistro is open 7 days and nights for lunch and dinner, and they also do a phenomenal breakfast on weekends. If you mention Sharkcast, you get a free garlic bread, baby. The RMYC Port Hacking, proud sponsors of this podcast and big supporters of the Cronulla Sutherland Sharks. Check out their website, rmycph.com.au. They've got a Facebook page, or you could go old school and call them on 02-9523-9300. Welcome to Sharkcast Pod, a podcast dedicated to the greatest sporting club in the history of the world, the mighty Cronulla Sutherland Sharks. This show is proudly brought to you by Dyson Logistics, the Royal Motor Yacht Club in Port Hacking, and Jason Hawes at Cripps and Cripps Real Estate. Thanks to everyone who's been in touch at SharkcastPod and SharkcastPod@gmail.com. It's partly why I'm doing this short, sharp episode of catching up on the mail. I've neglected that a little bit. I apologize, but I thought it'd be a good way to catch up with all of our listeners, as well as answer a few questions that have been sent our way. Looking forward to the season ahead on the field. It's going to be fascinating to watch. Very competitive Sharks team this year, which we'll talk about week in, week out. Great coaching staff, and really, it's all ahead for us. It's time to get back on the roller coaster that goes up. We've been on the sort of downward spiral a little bit, but I think it's going to be some really cool years ahead for us starting this year, and it may not happen straight away, but it's definitely going to happen. So looking forward to on the field, and very much looking forward to off the field, bringing you all weekly episodes where I can, more than weekly episodes. I'm working on a plan to sort of have those of you who want to hear some more be able to do that, but like all plans, they may not come off, so don't want to talk too much about that. But there are plans just to keep the podcast fresh, and definitely don't want to stray away from our traditions that we've been doing since 2015, but always looking at ways to just keep it a bit more interesting and keeping everyone informed but also entertained. So watch your space on all that. Hope everyone is well. These are hard times we're living in. I know that we've all been affected by what's going on in the community, and I don't know how to say it other than it sucks, and I hope that you're keeping your head above water. Tough times, and shout out to all of our friends who are working in the health sector. It's brutal, absolutely brutal. So we do have a few people who listen that I know of who are out there on the front line, so thank you so much for your efforts and your help. And just everyone, I hope everyone's doing okay. there was a informative and interesting article written by our friend Dave Riccio interviewing Craig Fitzgibbon this week in the Telegraph and Murdoch publications. Some really good quotes and some really good, I guess, tidbits about what may be happening. And I think we and other people assumed a certain way the back line might be going, for example, but that's, I think everything's up in the air, which is, we'll get to that with the, with some of the mail that's been written to us. But the number one thing you'll be hearing us talk about, I think, week in, week out, is the competition for spots and who belongs where and who could shuffle over here. Or when asked about, does he know whether he has his starting halves for round one, Fitzgibbon replied, it's starting to take shape, but we're not locked in. And then he mentions all the halves. He said, we've got some great competition with Nico, Braden Trindle, Matt Moylan, Luke Metcalf, Ryan Rivett, and Lockie Miller, all preparing really well. So whether you believe it will come down to trial form or whether you believe just sort of dodging a storyline there, there is definitely competition in most spots. In most spots. Not all. I mean, you think the fullback's certainly earned his jersey. We do have other people that can play there, but that, for example, is probably not up for someone else to jump in round one. But there is a lot of movement that could happen in this team, and it's super fascinating. I'm sure the next episode or two we'll come back to this interview as a reference, but for now let's jump into some of the mail that's been sent our way. I'm going to do it in the order that was sent to us. So Danny has written to us from the UK. He says, thank you for the podcast. Thanks for carrying on when Newman left, because your podcast gives me a massive insight into the Sharks, which I can't get elsewhere. And then he has some praise for Adam as well, which I, of course, agree with. I'm going to reply to you, Danny, about the jersey situation. The question is, will the Sharks consider signing Bronson Sherry again? I personally loved watching him play and would love to have him back. Just wondering if the Sharks are interested in him, when they can officially sign him. I understand he's still banned until November next year. All the best, up up. Well, Danny, looking at the interwebs, it says he's eligible to play in end of 2023. Danny, I have no intel on whether they'd be interested in signing him or not at the moment. Do you know that he was loved at that club? He was seen as a nice young guy with an immense talent. He came up through the ranks. One of those great stories that comes around every sort of 3 or 4 years for the Sharks, you know, going back to ET and fast forwarding to your Stewie Mills and, you know, your local juniors that just climb the ranks and make it to first grade. There's always the guys that sort of go close, but these guys that break through the barrier and make it to first grade for their local club in that position of centre with, you know, blistering speed, etc. It's always fun to watch. I know they were extremely let down by his behaviour, and extremely let down by the fact that he wasn't talking to anyone about the problems that he was having. I think coupled with the fact that the Sharks had been through all the Asada business in the years gone by, and to drag the club through the mud again, that really hurt the club and people at the club. I'm a never say never kind of guy, and I personally would have no issue with him coming back. I think it would have to be on a reasonably sensible contract from money point of view. I wouldn't be throwing the house at him. I'd have a few clauses in there about behavior. Whether they'll do it or not, I'm not sure, but I can tell you that someone will. I mean, he's young, and he was getting pretty good. So someone will sign him up. And I think he knows that. Keeping fit, he looks huge, and I think if he can stay on the straight and narrow in his life, and I know that he's, you know, got some family history there of off-field issues, but he personally, from what I've been told from the club, there was never any issues at all with him personally. I have no doubt someone will sign him. And if it's us, I think that's a nice redemption story. Am I wishing for it? Not necessarily. Will we need him is the other question. I mean, let's see who's coming through our ranks. Oh, I get the feeling a club like the West Tigers, a club like maybe even St. George, just someone who historically buys out of desperation, might throw him some bucks that are hard to turn down. I would like to think he's going to give the Sharks the first offer. So we'll watch your space on that one, Danny. Thank you so much for being in touch, and I will reply to you about everything else, and I hope you're keeping safe over in the UK. All right, up next we have Jack. And Jack is responsible for the opening music that you heard and possibly the outro as well. Jack is a regular listener, a regular writer, and a muso, and he has done a recording for us of the opening, and it sounds fantastic. Jack, thanks so much for doing that. Appreciate your time and effort. Hope you're keeping well. And he says, thanks for the 12 days of Sharkmas episode. It was quality, up for 2022. And yes, if you're not caught up with our episodes, I think two episodes ago we did an all-star 12 Wishes of Christmas Sharkmas episode. It featured myself, but more importantly, Dr. Cameron Webb, Jardine Ormsby, Gary Gazdoza, and Josh Bowling. I think that was the entire crew. TK and Clinton couldn't be around, but please go check out that if you haven't for a bit of fun. Thanks, Jack. Much appreciated. Next up, we have Steve. He said, I just got a chance to listen to 12 Days of Christmas Pod. Absolute ripper. Thoughts on the intro music? Definitely need to replace Kickstart My Heart. Although I do agree, when I hear it now, I think of Shark Park. It still doesn't feel like ours, though. So, interesting thoughts there, Steve. And I agree with you that we wouldn't mind replacing the music, but I guess now it's been played for so long that when you hear that song, it might remind you of the shark. So, it's catch 22 for me. So, obviously, it's not a huge issue. Sometimes I make more out of these things than they are, I would imagine. He does go on to say someone needs to remix the Jaws theme into a song, sort of like the Shark Cast Biggie intro. So maybe what you just heard before from Jack could be something like that. Also, with the college game day experience, I think something at the 13th minute would be cool to celebrate the GOAT Paul Gallen, or a little bit harder, but at 20 minutes and 16 seconds to celebrate 2016. I could see the place going wild when 2016 hits. Anyway, just talking nonsense. Keep up the good work. Thanks, Steve. I actually don't mind that. I don't know if I want it for every game, although I guess you could find some sort of celebration for each home game to do it at certain times. But I don't mind that kind of thing. It was funny in the Paul Gallen last... Was it the last home game? And at the 13th minute, I assume, everyone's stood up and applauded, or something happened. I think we all just applauded, a round of applause for a minute. And we were coming out of our own line. And correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't Chad just like kick the ball for like 80 meters dead or something? Something bizarre happened. It didn't really work with what was going on around the ground. But Steve, I like the way you're thinking. I think entertainment is key. Entertainment is key for these matches that keep people coming back in their droves. Not the regulars, but the other people. The other people not like us. Not the fanatics. People that go to one or two games a year. That kind of thing might draw them back. Or you know what? Maybe it would annoy them. I've got no idea. Thanks so much, Steve, for your correspondence. Okay. Next up, we have Alan. And I know Alan from my work on the Gaz and Shanaz show. Alan is from the Philippines. In fact, he calls himself the Philippine Connection, and he's a huge fan of the Sharks. He's a 78-year-old supporter. He supported them since they were a second division team playing at Sutherland Oval. Been living in the Philippines since 2009. He's, just to paraphrase here, because I'm going to make it a bit shorter, Alan, you're very concerned about the fact that some people in the media have said that Matt Ikavalu would be a starting center in 2022. And you do point out correctly that of the 39 matches he's played, 36 were as a winger, one as a center, and two off the bench. I don't think at the moment, Alan, you need to worry about him playing in the centers. I think that if there's a few injuries, then maybe they'd consider it. But I think that obviously Jesse Ramian has one spot. I'm of the belief Connor Tracy will take the second spot. If not, I mean, Ronaldo has been playing there in training as well. And there's a few other options that you could throw in there. So I don't know if Matt Ikavalu is going to be an option at center unless there's a mass injury crisis in that position. You do say that you hope they're not considering moving Mulitalo or Katoa as wingers. Now, if Ikavalu grabs the starting spot, then one of those two is going to be out. And I'm here to tell you it won't be Ronaldo. So I think at this point it's between Katoa and Ikevalu for the starting spot. I don't think that the decision's been made yet. I know Matt Ikevalu came here on a two-year deal and he's obviously been handpicked by the new coach. But I don't think it's a done deal just yet. I would think they're neck and neck at the moment. Alan, we will be talking a lot about player depth exclusively in the next one or two episodes when Tristan Kainel and myself do the annual player depth chart. We talk a lot about who can play where, and we're going to talk about this situation in particular. So please stay tuned for that episode. It'll be coming up in the next week or two, I hope. Thank you so much for your support, Alan. Stay safe. Have a great Sharks New Year, he says. Up, up, your Philippine connection. And Alan does say, P.S., will the Weekly Bite be returning? And for those who don't know, the Weekly Bite is the Gaz and Sinaz show that happened on Sharks, I don't know, Sharks TV, Sharks website. And it's been on and off for the last few years. It was off last year for a few different reasons. We're going to have a chat this month about that, Alan, and see what we can come up with. No promises, unfortunately. I'd be happy to do it. You know, you guys know I'd be happy to do it. Hopefully we can make something happen. Thank you for your support. You're a legend, Alan, and please subscribe to this podcast. Alan, take care over there, my friend. Last up, we have a note from Owen, and Owen says, Happy New Year. I have a few of your latest podcasts to catch up on. Looking forward to the Sharks year ahead and my Sharks Have Heart jersey debut. Yeah, the jersey's looking pretty good, Owen. So hopefully the Sharks are making some coin out of that. Owen has written to us about some NFL, National Football League, in particular about my beloved Minnesota Vikings, which is very lovely. And I'm sure we can have this chat more in depth elsewhere. But he's keen to hear my thoughts on new head coach, new GM, and the direction they'll go in. To put it as brief as I can, I'm super happy we're getting a new coach. I'm super happy we're getting a new GM. The coach was good for three of the 8 years. I would have sacked him after the Philadelphia championship game loss. It haunts me on a nightly basis, the fact that they had one game to win and then they could have played the Super Bowl in their home stadium. It's just, I can't and never will get over that until they win a title. GM was good, but really couldn't pick a quarterback. So happy for him to move on after 16 years, which is a long time. Also, I will be happy if Captain Kirk Cousins moves on too. He's on far too much money for a very average quarterback. His stats are really great, but he cannot win games when you need him to. He doesn't really have winning seasons, and the pressure very much gets this guy when you need it to not get to him, and it's really frustrating as a fan. So happy for him to move on. I think they might have a little bit of an in-between season where they might bring back a Teddy or a Fitzmagic or someone like that, and maybe they'll draft for a good quarterback the year after next, because in this next draft there's not many good quarterbacks. Having said that, if you trade Kirk, you'll get a first-round pick, I'm pretty sure. So see what happens there. He talks about Jonathan Taylor being an excellent fantasy player, which I can also agree with. I had him in one of my three teams. Owen, thanks for being in touch. Thanks for your kind wishes. And we will no doubt talk NFL another time. But I hope you're doing well. And thanks for all the support. Thanks, everyone who's been in touch. And we'll be back with another episode in the coming week or two. We're going to get back to regular weekly episodes before you know it and see what else we can do after that. Stay safe. Talk to you soon. Up, up, Cronulla. Sharkcast is supported by the best and most honest real estate agent in the Sutherland Shire, Jason Hawes from Cripps & Cripps Real Estate. He's an expert in the Caringbah region and has his eye all across the Shire. Lifelong Sharks fan and supporter of this podcast, if you're looking to buy or sell in the region, the person you need to be talking to is Jason Hawes from Cripps & Cripps Real Estate. Call him on 0410 417 450. That's 0410 417 450. Jason Hawes, Cripps & Cripps Real Estate.
Coming out with a trophy.